hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost of positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meals. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers in a fresh shrubs.
Welcome to episode 103 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, the only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, man. This episode brought to y'all by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, Heaven's Harvest, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Remember, them seeds are batting 1,000 down the hill there. Man, it's really astonishing, but in addition to that, y'all, they got all your preparedness needs covered over there. So, you know, we teach you, we've been teaching forever and a day to do most of your preparedness and, you know, as much as you can in dry goods and things you can produce. But if you can't produce some of those things, you definitely want to check them out. All right. Episode also brought to you by the Fountain app, where you can tip a pimp. Go over there. Check us out. You can listen to all your podcasts over there. In addition to that, you can pay us in some sats.
Yep. And I think an important thing to point out with the Fountain app is that that's like an alternative to maybe the potential of your podcast, your favorite podcast, selling out to advertisers and not speaking their mind. This way you can stream, like, not saying that we would ever do that, but this way you can stream while you're listening, like pennies at a time.
You could, but son, I'm telling you right now, I will burn this whole thing down before any advertiser tells me. I mean, honestly, I do not care. Hey,
we don't have to burn this place down. We can burn their place
no,
down.
I'm talking about burning down the whole podcast. I won't do it. If anybody, either I won't do it or I'll go to another platform or whatever the case, but I don't care what they think they're paying me. At the end of the day, if they say, well, I don't like the way, okay, well, there's 30 more. I get solicitations every single day.
Yeah.
And the answer is 99% no, because I am not ever going.
And they get sneaky too. That email forwarded me earlier today. Yeah, it's the same person that emails every time. They're just sneaky.
Yeah. I mean, there's other advertisers out there, you know, with their hats in their hands. So folks, if you ever think, look, we only advertise the things on this show that we use, that we endorse. And so, you know, had to hurt the feelings of certain people out there wanting us to advertise certain things. Well, if I don't use it, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say anything on the show. But yeah, like you said, so son, that's also a way to kind of halfway insulate yourself over there, you know, through the Fountain app, if some so desired. But at the end of the day, like I said, I will burn this whole, I will not do it before anybody tells me what I can say. Yeah. And that's just the way it's going to be. All right, y'all. So we'll just jump straight into it. Tip of the day. All right. Everybody's talking about, not everybody, but a lot of people talk about invasive species. This is invasive. You shouldn't have it. Blah, 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 blah. Look, I won't go into a whole lot of detail right now, but we will in the future regarding one particular invasive species. You've heard us talk about it if you watched YouTube any particular time. The locals call it Chinese silvergrass. And basically, it's this grass that pretty much only water buffaloes will eat. Well, anybody raising water buffaloes here in the mountain. And it was brought in by the government. So I'm saying all this to say to you that every single time somebody says it's an invasive species, every single time without question, it's always not been the case once we identify what that species doesn't like. For example, Chinese silvergrass.
Or what the species is fixing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So let's say we'll talk about this Chinese silvergrass. You know, it is the scourge of these mountains. Now, what we've discovered, and your mom, Michelle, for those out there, she basically said, hey, you know what? I'll bet a buffalo nickel that this stuff loves highly compacted bacterial soil. And you think about it, son, of the two test plots, we haven't yet talked about this publicly, but of the two places where we know it is highly fungal, it is basically stopped in the tracks any advance of that Chinese silvergrass.
Yeah. Yeah, it has.
And one, well, I'll just go ahead and say it. I mean, one of them being the orchard up the driveway on that side by our neighbor who has those donkeys.
Yeah.
And then the other is by the food forest. There was literally that stuff growing up through the fence. Like I said, the scourge of this environment. So then what you ought to ask is, what doesn't this like? Well, it's kind of got a woody stem, so it's not going to want to be chopped down a lot of times, you know, very often.
Yeah.
So you got, you're out competing its growth cycle, number one.
It puts a lot of energy into that stalk as well.
Right. And when you're constantly taking, that's why goats are so effective.
Yeah.
Because of what they eat.
Well, Dad.
Well, I mean,
don't give anybody, don't encourage anybody.
No, I mean, you can have goats if you want to, but that's why they're so effective, is that those woody species need time to recover. Goats get in there, work it over a little bit, they turn it into poop, and, you know, the ground improves.
Yeah.
And so those woody species, those multi-floor rows and all the rest of that eventually goes away. So find out, when you have what's called an invasive species out there, first of all, see if there's any way you can work with it. Like autumn olive. Okay, if you can't do anything with it, if you can't work with it, see if you, okay, sheep will eat that plum down to the ground.
Yep.
So it's not necessarily a bad thing. Or multi-floor rows, you know, yeah, nobody likes that, but you know what? Sheep will eat that stuff like it's going out of style.
And it's just, I mean, weeds, they might irritate you, but they're just a transition plant. They're just there until the next stage in the soil, you know, takes over. But
if you improve
also, it's better than nothing.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
well,
better
that's
than
true.
Bare dirt.
Well, that's the reason it's there, is because that ground has already been abused. Now, we're covering this area where it is absolutely positively nothing but Chinese silvergrass. And, you know, most people would throw their hands up in the air and say, okay, well, I'm done with that.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to do an experiment, and it's largely already been conducted in two other places. We're going to do it over there.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think the chances of success are going to be, son?
What do you mean do it? What do you mean specifically?
Turning that, making it an environment to where Chinese silvergrass can't exist.
Oh, I think it's going to be, I think if we change the soil, yeah, I think it's pretty high. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we're going to have to physically remove it though or not.
Maybe with a weed eater, but I don't think we're going to have to physically remove it because it was there. It was there in the food forest. That is now a highly fungal environment, which is exactly what you want for trees.
We also sheet mulched over that though.
Well, yeah, but that wouldn't normally do any good. The fact is that we have lots of fungus down there. It's been tested. You know, we tested it.
Yeah.
Looked at it under a microscope. So, folks, the point, the tip here, I didn't mean to spend this much time on it, but the tip being is when somebody tells you something is invasive, first of all, see if there's a way you can work with it if you can't get rid of it. And then find out what that thing doesn't like and give it more of what it, okay, for example, silvergrass, you see it mostly in open environments, okay, where there's sunlight hitting that ground.
Yeah.
Well, if that's what it likes, then maybe you want to turn that place into an orchard. Maybe you want to turn it into an old grove. I mean, whatever the case may be, it doesn't like that. Even if we did nothing else, that would be sufficient.
And like an alternative, another thing you could do is find out what function it's filling and then pick out something that you prefer that fits the same function.
Plant it.
And and replace it.
Yep.
Cut it down and replace it.
So think about those, y'all. That's a pretty big deal. So we're going to jump right into farm news. Strawberries everywhere. And when I say everywhere, y'all, you cannot even walk in the food forest without stepping on a straw.
And mom gets mad at everyone you step on.
Yeah. Like you can get there without stepping on.
Yeah.
We have, I don't even know. We're probably double what we got last year.
Yeah.
At least.
Oh, yeah.
At least. And it's almost, I know this is, I mean, it's sacrilege to say, but a lot of people would call this a nuisance. Be thinking about that. That's another tip you can take away. Is also, if you have a place where you can really grow blueberries, which, by the way, it's highly fungal. Blueberries are coming out like nobody's business. Strawberries are like a bumper crop beyond. I mean, seriously, I don't even know how many. We got that freeze dryer running day and
like,
night.
Mom, I don't think mom has even worked her way up the driveway yet because every time every time you get started in the food forest and you finish a spot, next time you go out there, that spot is full again with ripe strawberries. So you don't really make any progress when you're picking. It's like, it's almost like we need to throw a massive like loop party or something.
Yeah. You know what, man? I am not going to complain about the good Lord. You know, I thought about an idea. I'll have to talk to you about it off air as far as what to do with some of these guys.
Well, I was wondering if we could have the chickens hit it for like 2 hours or something. Like once they, like if we get to a point where they're just like sitting there and rotting and we just, like we're missing it, like we just can't keep up or something.
I got another idea I think might work, but I'll tell you about it later. We'll see, because it just occurred to me, and I have a habit of just kind of speaking out whatever comes to my mind on this podcast.
No kidding.
Don't want to do that. All right, so, well, your raised beds are off and running.
Well, they're not popping. The comfrey isn't popping up yet.
Not yet, but, you know, it will.
Yeah.
Moving wood still down that mountain. Man, that is quite a task. And then also, I changed my diet. I went away from this all meat thing into the primal thing that I initially started, which is basically meat, vegetables, and fat.
Well, that's, aren't we going to get into that later?
No. We'll get into it at the time. We'll talk about how the bigger function of it, but the point of it being doing this all meat thing digestively is not a wonderful thing for me. Going 4 days without any regularity doesn't seem normal. I don't care what anybody says. So, yeah. You know what? If meat and vegetables are bad for me, then I'm just going to have to deal with the consequences. But we're going to, you know, in the main topic here, we're going to kind of lean into something else concerning all that. Son, you got a little story. So you had your jiu-jitsu match.
So I had my jiu-jitsu tournament this past weekend. It was on Saturday. It was my first blue belt tournament. I had been a blue belt for a week. So I won. I won my match. I'm still undefeated at the tournaments, but now I have a DQ on my record. So what happened is I went up against this blue belt. They were short on people, so they combined weight classes. And looking at this guy's previous record, he had competed at like 230 and under before. So he could have been anywhere between where we were. I weighed in 184 or something, and he could have been anywhere between 175 and under 230 at that point. That's why they combined weight classes. They already had 15-pound weight classes. So
he was considerably heavier.
Yeah. So he's we get to, like, all through the match, I take him down. He basically picks me up at one point and gets me on my side. He collects a bunch of points. He's up like 15-5 or something like that. And then I use all of my doggone energy and finally get a submission on him with like 13 seconds left. And then it was time to raise hands, and I walk over to the ref, and then I knew about a minute into the match I was going to have to throw up afterwards, but it all hit me all at once. So I grab my face, and I run over to the table that's right next to the mat, and I'm looking for a trash can, because like anybody who's ever been to a wrestling tournament or a jiu-jitsu tournament knows that they always keep trash cans by the tables for this exact reason. This is not an uncommon thing. And they didn't have one there. And then I already have like a load in my mouth, and another one is coming. And yeah, I know that's very disgusting and graphic. Sorry about it. But this is what happened. So I run off the mat, and I'm looking off to the side of the gym for a trash can, and I can't find one. And another one is coming immediately. And it just, like, I'm holding my mouth, and it just sprays out to the side. There was a short dude next to me. He got sprayed. He didn't even know why I was running over there. Like, a few people understood what was going on. He had no idea. And then he, like, gets sprayed. He's looking all confused. And then he looks at me. And then he just, like, runs off. And then I keep throwing up. And then I run out to the hallway, throw up again. And then I finally make it outside. And then I throw up the rest of the way. And then I come back in and find out I won the match. But I got disqualified because I ran off the mat. So
before your hand could get raised.
Yep, before my hand could get raised. So there was that. Should I post the match somewhere?
Nah. Okay. But I mean, the point being is that, well, I think you got a raw deal there. But that reminds me also, I mean, when it comes, only time I've ever projectile. Now, folks, I'm not trying to gross you out. I'll put it this way. I was working in Kansas City, and yeah. I was in the River Market. I never ate Vietnamese food in my life. And the second I was sitting there by myself at lunch, you know, I had a service truck in the whole nine yards. And there's all these suit and tie, button down types out there. And so I eat whatever it was, this soup or whatever they gave me in the meal. I literally paid, stood up, and I projectile. I mean, it was all these business people, and I literally covered all of their feet. It was the most, I mean, if somebody said, what is the most embarrassing moment of your life? That was it. So, I didn't hear nothing. I walked straight over to the, what are you going to say? I walked all the way over to the service truck, and I pulled out of there. I didn't even look over. I know people had to be screaming And I was so embarrassed. I didn't know what to do.
Well, okay. So the cool thing about it, like my incident, was that I was so happy about submitting this guy who was heavier and had been a blue belt for a while. I was so happy about that. I didn't feel an ounce of shame or embarrassment or anything. I walked back in that gym like nothing happened. I was just smiling ear to ear because I just won a match I wasn't supposed to win at the last second.
Against a guy that was much heavier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Well, at least you didn't get put down by Marty, son.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Coming up soon, here before too long, we got the Heritage Life Skills Gathering. It's going to be July 21st and 23rd. Through 21st through the 23rd. William Fortune is going to be there. I'll be teaching as well. Also, on down the road, Kentucky Sustainable Living, October 28th and 29th. I know it's a little ways off, but you want to get your tickets early as you can, especially for that VIP dinner they have, okay? And it's not, you know, it's basically, not basically, it's to benefit Veterans for Child Rescue. And that's why I'm pimping this thing out like nobody's business. Look, if you sign up right now and I'm going to take the first 10 people, you'll get 10 minutes on this show. Right now we got two signed up, actually three, and he's basically going to get a whole program because not only did he win the comment, it was Don. Not only did he win the comment, but he also signed up for that. So he gets, okay. I mean, my man bought five tickets.
Oh, wow.
Dang. Yeah.
That's awesome. So the goal for that banquet is $10,000, and that's to fund an operation in Kentucky.
Right.
To go save some children.
Yeah, I want to get them as much.
They're going to get to $10,000.
Yeah, one way or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So, hey, y'all, that's coming up soon. So remember, those two festivals that I'm aware of. All right, y'all, right now we're going to kick into the homesteading pastor, my pastor. Go check him out, Pastor Lon on YouTube.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. I got a verse of scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but if any provide not for his own, especially for his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. With Father's Day service still being fresh on my mind, I remember some of the things that I shared with our congregation yesterday. One, our children need to know that they're loved. That way they will learn to express love to others. I reminded our men that the Bible is clear that the men, the fathers, are to be the spiritual leader and provider of the home. And one way that they can know, we can know that we're doing just that, is to commit our lives totally to Christ and to raise our family to do the same. You see, we must lead our family by example, being a good role model. I ask them and I'll ask you today, what kind of seeds are you sowing in the lives of your children? And what kind of legacy are you leaving behind for them and others that are watching your life? Men, we need to stand up and be the men that God has called us to be. I know I talk about men a lot because I am one through and through. But that is one of the main reasons this country's in the shape it's in today, is because men and fathers won't step up to the plate and do what God intended for us to do.
That's why when I wear that shirt, Make Men Men Again, everybody, especially in Asheville, if I wear it there, I mean, boy, you talk about some ugly looks.
Yeah, that's the most offensive shirt of all the shirts. You have a shirt that says untuckable. Of all the shirts, Make Men Men Again is the most offensive.
Oh, man, they lose their minds. But the point being is that it's not even what most of them would think it is. It's exactly what Pastor Lon hit on there.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with, like, transgender anything.
Well, yeah, you can look at it. Yeah, it kind of does, at least in my view.
Okay.
But, I mean, the bigger point that I'm trying to make with that shirt is Make Men Men Again, you know, where you're actually standing up for something. You're doing something. You're spending time with your family. You're doing, I mean, I haven't always been perfect at that sort of thing. But honestly, it's gotten to the point now where I know men, for real. I know guys very well. I'll give one example where one had a kid practically suicidal. He was in high school, and I'm saying, hey man, you might want to read this book here, you know, things that help you deal with such things, you know. And honestly, this kid was totally screwed up by the system, and I ain't got time to read it, I got too much going on. But every time you turn around, he's reading some trade publication on the next truck he's gonna buy. And I'm like, okay, you got time for this. You can sit here, put all this effort in, but you got a kid that's nearly suicidal. These teachers literally pulled him out. I mean, screwed him up. And you are looking, you know, you're trying to figure out what new truck you're going to buy. Really?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
All right, y'all. Straight into the bad news, good news. Usually it's one bad for two good, but I think I'm going to change it up today just because a couple of things here. Okay, so this first one came from Natural News. Food and drug shortage rages on. Numerous pharmaceuticals to run out before the end of 2023. Now, they cite CNN even in this thing where it says, CNN published a piece recently stating that we are, quote, currently in the worst food crisis in modern history. While common drugs like antibiotics and specifically penicillin are slated to run out entirely. In some cases, even before the end of 2023. So, this is, man, I could really open a whole nother can of worms here. But here's what blows my mind about the Patriot movement. Here's why I've been trying to reach out to a lot of those people that have a footprint in that world.
Yeah.
The reason being is that most of the Patriots, they're like, oh, well, I got my beans and bullets. And they don't worry about resupply. That is the problem. That's why I've been reaching out to most of the MAGA group and a lot of those people first. And any interview that I've done with them pretty much bombs. Now you get a guy on there talking about QAnon.
Yep.
And he absolutely, you know, they'll blow that one up. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Maybe the people on the far right, or people on the right, sorry about that. Maybe the people on the right are every bit as brainwashed as some of the people on the left. Because if you're telling me you got beans and bullets, but you ain't worried about pharmaceuticals, you know, and some of these people I know are diabetics.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you ain't worried about putting back or learning how to grow food. Well, I got food put back. Well, how much? Oh, I got 3 to 4 months worth. Okay, what if it lasts 6 months?
Or if they are gardening or farming or anything like that, it's reliant upon like a functioning system.
Yes. Yes.
Like either commercial feed or petroleum or whatever.
Or, you know, nitrogen-based fertilizers.
Yeah.
That's why we've been going through on Patreon this series on how to make biocomplete compost. That's why we're going through that right now. But that's where I think a lot of the Patriot movement are missing the boat. Because I'm like, you know what? I know that I'm not a bad interview. You know, I know a little bit. I know a little bit about media. I used to work in the media. Used to be a professional talk show host at one time, and I was really good at it. And I know exactly how to put butts in seats, but I'm like, okay, a lot of the people in the MAGA movement are complete. Oh, you want to hear about QAnon, you want to hear about the banking crisis, but you don't want to hear anything about how to grow your food or put it back. And I'm not saying everybody, because a lot of those people overlay with the audience we have.
Right.
But by and large, the people that have those, yeah, they're reluctant to even have me on because they're like, well, people just ain't interested. And I'm like, okay, well, that makes you as dumb as the people on the left then.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Yeah, I mean, so anyway, look, I know if you're listening to this podcast, you're smarter than the average bear. All right, so I got another bad one, and I'm bringing this out for a reason. So this one here is from the Anchorage Daily News. Okay, so what does that got to do with anything? Internet and cell outages in Northwest Alaska. North Slope caused by offshore fiber optic cut. Okay, basically, undersea cables have just been cut up there. It's going to take months and months to repair, but somehow nobody knows how it happened. Okay, let me just say this. It wasn't Vladimir Putin, but it was his somebody like him in Russia. Basically, somewhere along his level of Vladdy the Pimp Daddy. Anyway, the guy basically said last week, I heard it on True News, that he literally said, okay, you guys want to sit over here and pull your false flags on us? What if we were to cut these undersea cables? That literally happened last week. Well, who's on the other side of Russia? Yeah. Alaska.
Yep.
You think that maybe they might be saying, okay, mess with our pipelines, we'll mess with your cables. There's also these cables that go from here to Europe. That's how the stuff gets transmitted.
Yeah.
Especially the banking system. Okay, Russia, if they wanted to do what we're doing, maybe they want to sever that cable. But right now, it just seemed a little too, coincidental.
Yeah.
that all of a sudden
they just so happen to get cut.
Yeah.
I don't imagine it's like an easy thing to do. I'm sure they secure these somehow for like worst case scenario type events.
Well, maybe they probably put them in underwater concrete. I mean, I would imagine there's some way somehow that they basically, you know, secure these things. I'm sure it's just not, you know, some.
When did they run these cables?
Well,
when did that happen?
I'll tell you what, there's a really awesome story about the Glomar Explorer. Most people don't even know about that story. It's still, I think, in Newport News, Virginia. I can't get into it right now, but it is one awesome story about the Glomar Explorer and why it was built. And we had the entire Atlantic wired for sound. The Russians didn't know it at the time. And when they lost a sub, we knew exactly where it was.
Yeah.
Well, they had Howard Hughes because he was known to be eccentric and everything. Said he was. They had the CIA went to Howard Hughes and said, "Hey, we want you to go out there and say you're going to mine the Atlantic for gold." What they were really doing was building this ship exclusively to get that sub because we knew precisely where it was, and the Russians didn't.
Well, so special. But what was the deal with the sub?
It was a Russian sub. It was a Russian sub, and it was basically high tech. It went down. And because we had the entire Atlantic wired for sound, we knew exactly where it was. Anyway, they had them build this boat, went down there, snatched this thing up off the bottom of the ocean, and then it was somewhere in, I think, the early 90s, maybe the late 80s, when we actually admitted to the Russians. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go sideways, but y'all, I'm a history buff on so many different ways, but the point being is that back then we had the Atlantic wired for sound. So we put these cables from here to Europe and all over Asia.
That makes me even wonder even more. Why would they put cables back then, like with the intent of putting in fiber optic cables later? Because they knew they were going to have internet. I mean, I get it. They had it wired for sound, but I don't know. It seems like that would be a massive undergoing that would be like a major event that would be taught in school. Like, okay, this is when we had quick communication with Europe and then the rest of the world.
Well, that's not. And initially, they had the entire Atlantic wired for sound to know where all the Russian subs were at all times. That's what the initial intent was.
I get that part.
But yeah, most of our cables that go, I mean, you think about it. If they sever those cables, the ones that go from here to Alaska, or not here to Alaska. Yeah, I think they do from here to Alaska, here to Europe, here to Asia, here to Africa. And I think there's even some routers or whatever that make it all the way to Australia.
Hmm.
But those cables get severed. Guess what else gets severed? Banking.
Yeah.
Any kind of commerce that happens in between every country, it happens on those cables.
Does communication happen through satellites at all?
I don't know. I don't know about that, but I know banking and a number of other transactions, internet and stuff, all happens through those undersea fiber optic cables.
I bet a flat earther has something to say about that.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. All right, so some of the good news. Man, I'm like an RFK Jr. every day, even though I don't trust this guy. I don't trust anybody running for president. Even though I know who his dad was, even though I know his uncle, both of them got murdered by the CIA. RFK Jr., he says, becoming president, I would put a statue of Edward Snowden in Washington, D.C., and Assange, I'm going to pardon day one.
Wow. Let's see if he actually does it.
Well,
if he becomes
president. Let's see if he doesn't. Okay, remember what happened to his dad running for president. Okay, another little history lesson for those that don't know. What happened out there at the hotel in California where Sirhan, MK Ultra plant, comes at him from the front, but somehow Noguchi, the medical examiner says the shot that killed Kennedy was right up next to the back of his ear.
Hmm.
Yeah. So another thing. So think about this. JFK was shot from the front, but they said he was murdered from the back.
Yeah.
RFK was shot from the back, but they say the murderer came from the front.
Why is that? Why can't they get that right? What is it? Is it their hitmen that are like, oh man, messed that one up?
Well, no, the hitman was actually the security. They had Sirhan as basically a stooge.
Right. I get that. I'm wondering, like, why can't they get that part of the story right? Why do they keep getting that part of the story wrong? Like, why can't they just say, oh, yeah, he was shot from the back? Why can't they? I don't know.
Well, it's a world of lies. And sadly, most Americans will believe anything officially told to them. It was like Jim Mars once said. He was the guy that wrote the book Crossfire concerning the Kennedy assassination. He says, you know, it was not long after 9/11, and back then you couldn't even talk about 9/11 in polite company. And I remember him saying just off the cuff one day, he says, you know, I'm considered the foremost expert on the Kennedy, one of the foremost experts on the Kennedy assassination. He says there exists at least 9 to 10 or 20 times the evidence that 9/11 was an inside job. And the same people that will look at the Kennedy assassination, I can't get them to take a second look at 9/11 or Oklahoma City or any of that stuff. But I digress. Okay, so that's a good news article. Like I said, at the end of the day, I'm always dubious of anybody running for president, but I like a lot of what RFK is saying. We'll see how he comes down on the Second Amendment. So far, it's looking like, good night, man. He's looking like a, how about this? A Democrat that existed back when his dad was around.
Yeah.
That kind of Democrat. Maybe that's the kind of Democrat he is. We'll see what happens. I hear him say a lot of wonderful things. I mean, he's in there talking about chemtrails, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, I still don't, like, he can say whatever at this point. And until he actually does something, I'm not really going to buy it or believe it.
It's like that one comedian said. He says, you know, everybody goes in the office, and then as soon as you get in there, some guys in black suits show up, and he says, okay, they show you the Kennedy assassination from a direction that you've never seen before. And then they just play this video, and then they just say, any questions?
Yeah.
And then they walk out. You know, that's, I really don't doubt that that's what happens. I mean, these are nefarious times, but we got to find some way to find some humor in all this. Okay, the other good news, former Green Beret confronts Rochelle Walensky before the hearing. And he says, I really look forward to you testifying about your involvement in murdering 38,000 Americans due to the jab. There's even a video of it out there. He shakes her hand and everything. She's all, you know, nicey. You know, I hope. They can, you know, put up a bunch of hangman's nooses there in The Hague. But, you know, at least that's good news. I mean, people are starting to wake up. A lot of the people that were jabbed and everything are reluctant. They will not even entertain a conversation.
Yeah.
It is just jaw-dropping. Like Peter McCullough said, Dr. McCullough, he's like, what I don't get is that there are parents who are losing children. They talk to me and he'll say, it might have been the jab. And they're like, oh, no, it wasn't that. It was just his time. It's like these people have been brainwashed beyond anything. But you know who ain't brainwashed? People listening to the Permaculture Pimp Cast. All right, want to give a hat tip to Van Tesla as always.
Yep.
Hey, remember, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Ain't going to help you if, you know, somebody cuts the lines from here to Europe or anything, but hey, if there's an EMP Shield or a lightning strike on the house, you can't beat EMP Shield. All right, so we're going to talk about a topic I've never heard discussed before. It might seem a little bit out of whack, but bear with me. Eric Sider, you've heard us talk about him a number of times on the program. He sent me when he sends me something, I know it is of high import. If he says to watch something, every single time I watch it or listen to it, in this case, it just happened to be a podcast, and some we have it attached down below, right? To the show?
Yeah, it is. It's linked down below.
Okay.
It's a podcast episode. So I think it'll link to the Apple podcast player, but you'll be able to figure it out.
I wrote back to Eric when I listened to it that this was basically the most important podcast I'd listened to in quite a while. And in all actuality, it was. We're going to list it down below. Now, I want to call attention to all you ladies out there that may be suffering from ladies' issues, whatever those may be, to seriously consider listening to this podcast. Also, it gave me, the beginning part of this podcast was about the benefits of fasting. And every day since, not only before 75 Hard, for the longest time, I've basically been intermittent fasting. So I basically go 16 to 18 hours, sometimes 20 hours without eating anything. You know, I basically eat within a narrow window. And generally, depending on which fasting method you use, some people eat whatever they want within that window. It can be anything. They have no restrictions. You know, since doing 75 hard, I've been eating within this window, doing primarily a primal diet, which for me consists of, well, until I did that all meat thing, basically meat, vegetables, and fat. And then I said, okay, I'm already mostly there. Let me go ahead and try this all meat thing. So I did it. And as I stated a little bit ago, digestively, not really digging it. So I'm going to move right back into primal. But this episode made me think, why isn't, now we talk about preparedness, permaculture, and practical living. Why is fasting not considered a preparedness method?
I think it should be, especially if the concern is, am I going to have enough food? You know what I mean? It should be like, okay, it should at least cross your mind, like, okay, how long can I go and function without meals?
Well, that would be one thing to know, and yeah, to know how you function. And folks, I did an experiment, and I'll talk about it in a minute. It actually unfolded over this week, actually unfolded until this morning. Just want to tell you, I mean, think about this. With intermittent fasting, there's tons of people, me being one of them, has seen extraordinary results. You may not lose weight necessarily after a while, but most people do initially. And then there's ways to get over that hump. Let me just talk to you real quick. First of all, Jesus talked a whole lot about fasting. And then there's Dr. Jason Fung out there who was in a documentary. He said once that the one thing, the only thing that Jesus, Confucius, and Buddha all had in common was the benefits of fasting.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that they fundamentally all agreed on. So from a spiritual standpoint, you know, those of us who are people of faith understand the value of fasting. Think about this. This is according to the doctor that was on this show. I'm giving you the cliff notes, but I highly encourage you to listen to it. After 16 to 18 hours, autophagy basically kicks in, and that's where the cells start to heal themselves. I didn't know that. I just did it because I thought I felt better. 24 hours, you basically, your gut starts to overhaul all the stem cells in there completely. After 36 hours, that's when you get down to extreme fat burning. 48 hours, your dopamine, all of your dopamine receptors are basically rebooted. Hmm. And after 4 days, basically brand new stem cells invade your entire body. These are the scientific benefits. I'm not even going to go in right now into the spiritual benefits, but there are many. Now, think about this. If you find yourself in, let's say, an EMP, which to me represents the worst, if you find yourself in any of those situations, do you think fasting might be a good tactical benefit? Especially if you're one of the MAGA people that I know out there, oh, I got 4 months of food. Well, are you rationing this food, eating three meals a day?
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is eating three square meals a day like what you want to do during like a survival situation? I mean, you might not even have time to be, at that point, you might not have time to eat three square meals a day. It just seems to make sense to practice that before times get hard than to wait till they happen and then find out how long you can go.
I'm just floored that I've never, maybe it has been talked about. I just never heard anybody talk about it, using fasting as a preparedness method for not only for a couple of things. Think about it. If it were the worst, okay, your stress is going to be through the roof. Fasting would actually go. I mean, if you look at the benefits I just talked about, you think about how far you could go in a fasted state. And plus, also, one thing I didn't point out, your senses are on high alert. Your mind is sharper because, you know, the first couple of days into this thing, y'all, I was sharper than I can. I mean, I'm usually pretty sharp comparatively, maybe to some little Marchy down the road. But I mean, I'm usually pretty sharp, but I noticed it mentally to a point. I was uber sharp, very efficient, and I'm already an efficient person. And doing the 75 hard made me more efficient. And then I became even more so to a point. Now, let me tell you how that unfolded.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So I was doing basically, Eric sent me this thing. And so Friday, I'm thinking, okay, let me go ahead and give this thing a shot. So ate my last meal 8 o'clock on Friday, you know, and I got it. Okay. Just to give you a play by play, the typical time that I go the 16, 18 hours. Okay. That was nothing. And then when I start getting closer to 24, because I've done that before, I'm like, okay, this is a mental thing. I'm not even that bad off.
Right.
But I do, I'm having hunger pangs. And you usually don't do that on a primal diet. So I know it's something mental. And then as soon as you hit the 24, you're like, okay, I'm good. And then later on, 8 hours later, you hit 32. And then, you know, you sleep. I intentionally started it at 8 o'clock. So, you know, I'd finish at night. So I got through the first day. Second day, I was kind of catching the blues here and there. I get these bursts of sufficient energy and then bursts of no energy. But I was finding that my mind was even sharper.
And also, Dad, don't forget to mention the fact that you're still doing 75 hard and doing 2 45-minute workouts a day.
Right. And okay, so we'll cover that here in a minute. I was going to get to that. Right. So the point being is that I'm going through all this, but the idea is, okay, I'd already made up in my mind that we were going to talk about this on Monday. And I'm like, okay, if I can't possibly talk about it unless I've done it or for, you know, for an extended period of time. And so this morning I basically ended it. And this morning, how do I even say this? I was out doing chores and I got to the point where I thought I was going to pass out. I really did, because I didn't stop any of my activity one bit. I wanted to see if I could maintain the typical activity schedule that I typically did. Now, all I had, only thing I took in was copious amounts of water, lots and lots of water.
And the coffee.
And the coffee.
Yeah.
And William may have been right. This morning, I couldn't seem to make my body work. And it got to the point where I staggered back to the vehicle. I'm usually the one driving, and I jumped in the passenger side, and I'm like, man, I think I'm about to pass out.
Yeah, it doesn't say any of this while we're in the field, though. Waits till he gets to the car that's uphill from where we were. I didn't even know this.
I was dopey this morning, and they were like, hey, there's something wrong with you. Well, I didn't do it right, and frankly, I didn't do it because as soon as I got back to the house, William gave me some, what do you call them things?
Electrolytes.
Electrolytes.
It was just like, basically salt, magnesium, stuff like that.
And immediately I felt better. But I think I'd let myself go for far too long without any. I mean, I should have at least been taking electrolytes. I don't know. I've never long-term fasted. But the point of it being is I'm sitting here thinking, okay, this was a test run for me. And I'm like, okay, I know what I'm going to do differently. I'll probably throw some of these electrolytes in here.
Yeah.
But honestly, I let myself get so depleted that I still went through my regular 75 hard today, but I've been suffering pretty much all day until this late evening, which is about the time we're recording this thing, which is, I'm not sure what time.
8:58 p.m.
Okay, so it's almost 9 o'clock. And I don't know, maybe you can tell out there, I'm not 100%, but I had to do this. So I was thinking, okay, what's the verdict? Well, the verdict is 48 hours, I maintained everything on nothing but water. Didn't take in anything, no vitamins, no nothing. And after that point, that's when I really hit a brick wall. Drank your mom's coffee this morning, which probably didn't help anyway because you could stand a spoon up in that stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm saying to myself, okay, well, at least I know what I need to do differently next time. But it takes me right back to, are you not going to be in that position if things go sideways? And let's be honest here, y'all. I just read you one article. It's why I read two of them. I read you one article where the Russians could possibly be cutting these cables. I mean, we gave them every reason to. Why not? We blew up their pipeline. And on the same token, you're hearing it right from CNN, of all people, who are not our friends. Not that Fox News is or anybody else. But CNN is even openly stating that we are in the worst food crisis ever. We are also in a crisis of pharmaceuticals. So, do you think maybe fasting for health benefits might get you off those pharmaceuticals?
Yeah, I was going to say that too. You might do it strategically, like if somebody gets sick or something like that when we're in those types of times. Like if somebody gets sick and you can't go to the doctor, maybe fasting is your version. And if like James and Ashley from Strand Farm, they have a YouTube channel. I think they talk about it as well. They did some amazing healing with just fasting.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll let them tell that story. I don't want to go telling their story, but through fasting, and both of them are RNs, through fasting, they did astonishing things, because like I said, I mean, after a while your body starts healing itself. So if you're a person that is hooked on, let's say, high blood pressure medication, or you're a person that's hooked on to anything that you may not be able to get, because, I mean, there's a reason why I read that article.
Yeah.
You might want to consider fasting for healing. Please check out that episode down below, because there are astonishing benefits to fasting. There's a documentary that I said, Eric called, it's literally called Fasting.
Yeah. It's on Amazon, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. And there's a lady on there. I mean, just one of many. I mean, people have healed cancer. And in fact, in that 4-day fast, your immune system is basically rebooted. It is impossible. I didn't even know this until that doctor in that podcast said so, but it is basically impossible for you to get sick after a certain number of times when you're fasting.
Wow.
It is like adding armor. And then if you do it long enough, strategic enough, there are even fasting centers that can get you through. So whether it's losing weight or whether it's whatever ailment that you may be taking a prescription medication for, maybe you could use fasting as a means to heal yourself before this jumps off.
Or chronic pain.
Yes.
Stuff like that.
Well, like in my knees.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about your knee.
Yep, I was telling y'all, my knees, every time I get on my knees to pray, I do it at least 3 times a day. It's usually a pain going down and a pain getting up. And that went away in 24 hours.
That's awesome.
That all went away. And it hasn't been back. Not to say that it won't come back, but now I'm putting fasting into my regimen. I still do intermittent fasting, okay? I'm never going to eat outside of that. Unless it's some rare, weird thing, which kind of bothers me, man, because I used to love eating breakfast. But, I mean, all the wonderful things that go with it. But it's basically lunch and dinner, or I just skip dinner altogether. So it's one meal a day, sometimes two. So I usually eat within that 8-hour window. But I'll tell you what I'm going to start putting into my routine. Once a week, I will do a 24-hour fast. Huh. And then once a month, I'm thinking about doing a 3-day fast. I'm just going to have to get more information, because I went into this thing flat-footed and I did probably a lot of things wrong. But maybe this is the time we ought to start, because honestly, yeah, the hunger pains suck at first, but even in an intermittent fasting where I go 16 to 18 hours a day, usually after 3 days, you really don't even notice it anymore.
Yeah. Usually that, for me, whenever I've done fasting and stuff, like that was always a sign to drink water. I've noticed, like, whenever you get a hunger pain, start drinking water, and then the hunger pain kind of goes away. Yeah, it's never really too bad. It is 100% mental.
Yeah, it is. But for the people that are going to struggle with that, I'll tell you, when I first started, it was years ago when I first started. And then lately I got back into it, because honestly, you just feel like $1 million doing it that way. And then once I kind of moved over to a more of a keto diet, I'm realizing that I don't have this energy dump after I eat, which I know a lot of people feel out there. But folks, what I'm saying is we might want to consider, I don't know about how you're going to handle it at your place, but I promise you here, in fact, your mom is planning a long-term fast when she gets back from New York.
How long is she planning on fasting?
I don't know. We're gonna work that out. I mean, maybe have a trial.
Might need to lock her up.
Yeah.
She gets grumpy when she goes without food.
Yeah, but you hit a point where it doesn't even matter anymore. And you're not even hungry. I just made mistakes. And so we're not going to make those same mistakes for her. But it is partially, I'm not going to go into her private affairs, but it is partially to heal. Well, I mean, I guess we made it no secret that she has chronic serious back problems.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. Thank you, U.S. Army, for that. I won't go into that, but that's basically where it came from. So she's got back problems. We're going to see how much regeneration of certain things happen for her. And there's other issues she's dealing with as well. But we're going to find out. And we're going to start using fasting as a health means. And folks, I am highly encouraging everybody out there to seriously consider fasting at least examine it. Listen to the podcast down below. And like I said, ladies, if you have any issues, I think you're going to want to hear this, especially some of the older ladies, maybe over the age of 40, 45. You're really going to want to hear that podcast because this lady addresses some serious, serious stuff.
Even if you don't have issues, you want to listen to the podcast.
I think you're going to want to anyway. Yeah. And honestly, if you're a guy and you're married to a woman, you're going to want to listen to this podcast because it's going to explain to a certain extent. Like I said, it's been the most helpful. It's going to give you the instruction manual. Okay, guys.
Is there anybody that shouldn't listen to the podcast?
Marchies.
Okay.
Marchies.
Well, hey, it might straighten them out.
No, well, no.
Actually, more than one way.
Actually, no, I can't. Really, everybody would benefit from this, especially the women that are undergoing this sort of thing. Because, and then the guys that don't understand the women that are going under these things, you know, dealing with these things. Every family, every man, every woman should listen to this podcast, not only for the fasting information in the beginning, but also the explanation, because now I have a better understanding. Guys just don't understand certain things about women's, what they go through. I mean, we know nothing. And now I feel intimately more aware of what is happening and basically how to deal with it, how best to deal with it. So, I mean, honestly, it is an extraordinary podcast. Please, everybody check it out. We get back into it, y'all. Q&A. He gon' save us, left and right, squabbling while he got chips for your head, calling him courageous. No bueno, I answer to no one, start calling me Nado. Digital cheese on the way, though. Get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer, I need another booster. Before I hit the beach, BLM on my koozie. All right, welcome back. All right, this episode, this segment brought to you by Harvest Right Freeze Dryers. We got a link down below. And also at the website, we got that thing running day and night.
Yeah.
That's how many strawberries. I mean, it's just strawberry, strawberry, strawberry.
The
right
garage
now.
And the kitchen do smell like strawberries, though.
Yes, yes.
And steak, because of the carnivore.
You know what? A lot of people will say strawberries have no aroma.
What?
Yeah, well, they say that because the ones in the store typically don't. Oh. Remember, the ones in the store, if that's all you're used to, no, they don't have an aroma. They have a very bland, it's never a good strawberry flavor. We let them get as ripe can be.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you because, frankly, it was agonizing yesterday.
I've been, like, with this carnivore thing, if I want to, like, taste a strawberry or, like, one of the blueberries that are ripe, I do that. Like, that Lion's Mane you cooked up for Mom the other day, like, I'll taste that type of stuff. Like, I don't know. I think some people take it to the extreme where I enjoy food. I just enjoy food.
Well, you can, but the thing is that, like, when you talk about this fasting and stuff, there's a lot of people that eat whatever they want and then within that window.
Well, I can't do that because of allergies and stuff. I mean, I'm not even 30 days into the carnivore thing yet.
But. Well, there's other people that, you know, eat whatever they want on the weekends. In fact, in that documentary, Fasting, there's this one study that shows that the people who religiously stick to it are not better off than the people who stick to it 5 days a week and then eat what they want on the weekends. So, I mean, you know, who intermittently fast basically the 5 days of the week.
Right.
And then on the weekend, I did that one before in the past and I got great results. So, on this 75 hard, there are no cheat days, though, so it's just what it is. I got another shoe fly pie to eat when I get done with this one. That ain't going to be for a while, though. All right, y'all, got one right off from Casey. Congratulations on the 100th episode. You guys are like fine wine to me. Just keep getting better with age. Well, thank you so much. Says, I really enjoyed episode 99. I think it's so important that people realize that fear is a potent weapon. Amen to that. Thank you very much, Casey.
Yeah, thank you. Got one from No Name Tag on the Fountain app. I had to reach out because this episode struck a chord with me. This is episode 102, Alternative Methods of Acquiring Land. Struck a chord with me where you said you sometimes feel alone. I found your podcast thanks to Jack at the right time. To sum it up, always speaking the truth and standing up for what's right today results in all sorts of lunacy. Example, I got called a racist and a misogynist for drawing a comparison between the Chinese government and my country's government, Canada. lesson. Keep a warrior mentality. Keep your hands dirty and your mind and conscience clean.
Man, I know exactly what you mean. It's funny because I met another Canadian in another place not long ago, and he had exactly the same kind of feeling. And he was like, in Canada, you know, it's just, it's like everybody's on Prozac. Is that, that's what he said, you know. You know, now I will say the nicest, kindest people I've met on this planet were Canadians. Not even a close second anywhere that I've ever been. And I wonder if it's being taken advantage of. But yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, I guess there's a number of us. That's what's so cool about a lot of these festivals is that we all feel we're all outliers, I think, in wherever it is we come from.
We're all weird to everybody else.
Yeah, except for the people that are there. It's like people that go to one of those Comic-Cons or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Or like so, those bronies, those guys that like My Little Ponies.
Okay.
Yeah.
You could have never told me about that, and I'd have been just fine. Yeah, that sounds a little too close to a furry.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the point of it being is that's why we have to congregate, and we have to do it sometimes electronically, but that's why with these festivals, it's such a great thing. Like the thing in Kentucky, I know a lot of folks that are going to be there. And then when you go to these others, you've seen each other maybe three other festivals. There's something of a homecoming. You know, you don't know everything about each other, but you just feel this warmness of being in the same place with other people that can absolutely relate to you. But then a lot of these homestead festivals, you'll see some of the most introverted people you've ever met in your life. Unless you use my method of saying hi to somebody, hey, I'm Billy, so what do you do? And then all of a sudden these introverts become a little more extroverted when you start talking the language they get. All right, so we got one here from Reginald. He says he's currently attending the Earthship Academy out in Taos, New Mexico. He's a retired senior non-commissioned officer. And basically, he's here in North Carolina wanting to maybe link up at some time. Can't really do it right now. A lot of people asking, but we're up to our eyeballs in a lot of different things. I know I say that a lot, y'all, but we really can't entertain. If we were to say yes to everybody that wants to come by, we'd never get anything done because every single day of the week somebody's asking to come by and we just can't do it. Not until we get to a point, there's some certain benchmarks and also security concerns that we have.
I got a baby.
Yeah.
I got one from A. Eon on the Fountain app. You mentioned freeze drying comfrey in a past episode. What do you use it for once freeze dried?
Well, the comfrey, okay, well, I'm alleged.
I mean, like we use it for the comfrey salve.
Well, the best, you can, okay, most people who make comfrey salve are going to put it in a regular dehydrator.
Right.
We can preserve nearly everything in it by putting it in a freeze dryer. So we make something of a liquid poultice out of it and then freeze dry it, and then we use it for that. Also, it can be used for so many other applications.
I mean, I was going through that comfrey book just the other day because somebody was asking me on Instagram about it. Once you freeze dry it or powder it in a way, like you can use it for garden applications. You can use it for wound dressing. Do research, obviously, on how to do this. But you can then use it for teas. You can use it for all kinds of stuff. And when we compared the salve with the dehydrated stuff versus the freeze-dried stuff, the dehydrated stuff was like a light pale green and the freeze dried stuff was like a dark, dark green.
It's definitely a bigger, much bigger thing. So we can make something that's a little more intense, but that's the primary. Now we do dry comfrey too. In fact, it's hanging off the side of that porch right now. And we do comfrey hay, you know, part of that going back to the whole preparedness thing is that we did experiments on these animals. Like, okay, what if we didn't give them anything? Can we use comfrey hay to get them through the winter? And the answer is a resounding yes.
Yep.
Because it bioaccumulates so much in terms of minerals. Now, I'm not going to tell anybody else to do it, but I'm saying, okay, if things were to go sideways and I need some, if I can't go down there and get whatever from the store, you better have a plan B. And comfrey ain't growing in the winter, so you better have some hay. Yeah. So we got Kyle here. What's going on, Billy? Wanted to send you an email, let you know how much you like the podcast. Started with listening today, checking out Tiffany Baxter's episode, and I've been listening, binge listening, basically working in the shop. He says, I own operated my custom exempt slaughterhouse butcher shop in northern New Hampshire and really mess with what you're throwing out there. I heard what you were Heard you were looking to do my interviews. I'm not sure what you're meaning there. Anyway, he says, hey, you're killing it. So basically, he sent me a picture here, and man, it's always a joy to meet other butchers. It's hard to make it out in that particular thing right there. But anyway, he's doing big things out there, and that's another way we meet each other, y'all, is honestly through this forum. We, you know, you hear me. I know I don't get to hear you except maybe through the emails and some of the other responses out there. But then a lot of times at these festivals, that's kind of where we have our little jamboree.
I got one from That's Not My Otter. Found a way to grow soil, plants, and deal with weeds without any real extra work and inexpensively to boot. I would love to show you how. See my email for a photo.
Okay. Yeah. Check that out.
Yeah.
All right. Mike says, can you please talk more about freeze drying process, how to store, how to cook, how to serve stuff like that? Thank you, Mike. It depends on what you're doing. We just talked about, obviously, strawberries for a fair piece on here. Talked about comfrey. I will tell you that literally it goes like this. Okay, for the strawberries, you basically freeze them. It makes the freeze dryer go a little bit faster. Freeze them first, put them on the tray, stick them in the freeze dryer, and it's about as intuitive as you get. Take them out, put them in Mylar bags. And in fact, I would highly recommend using good. Miss Wanda from Deep South Homestead talked about this. There is a big difference from a lot of these Mylar bags you buy online, these little thin ones, compared to the ones that you get from like Heaven's Harvest or Harvest Right. I'm sorry. You check those Mylar bags out, man. There ain't no puncturing those things.
Oh, yeah, they're thick.
It's not just putting it away. It's keeping it while it's away, because back in the old days, there's a lot of stuff I put in Mylar. It was that thin stuff and then lost it, you know. Yeah. So I won't make that. I don't skip on Mylar.
Got one from Strider47. Pimp seeds. Planting it means preparedness.
Bam!
That's cool. That's
man,
a good one.
Strider, he's all about it, man.
I got another one from him. We got an extra 30 minutes of Pimp Cast this week on top of a bonus interview. Darn, I'm so upset. Thanks for the extra blessings this week, Pimps.
Oh, man. Thanks a lot, man. Yeah. Boy, he does a lot for the show and also some great content every single time.
Yeah.
All right, we got Emma over here, and she's saying, hey, wanted to tell you the bone sauce has literally saved our little orchard investment. You know what? That is awesome.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. She says a lot of other stuff here, but
we understand the relief.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, we had to make this bone sauce, or I wouldn't have an orchard right now. I mean, that's how bad they were wiping us out. I mean, absolutely destroying everything.
I got one from Ashley C. on the Pimp Cast. Wild cherry, along with all stone fruit trees, are only poisonous in the wilted state. So fresh eating from the trees is generally okay, as is consumption of completely dried out leaves. This is why livestock have been poisoned after storms from downed limbs and in drought. Also, never apologize for going long. I'm sad when I run out of my Pimp Cast. Also, really enjoyed the bonus episode. What an exceptional young woman. Love hearing her story. Her parents ought to be so proud. They are crazy.
Yeah, man. There's a lot. I mean, boy, she's exceptional. No doubt about that. But you know, we're going to start doing a lot more of that. Every Wednesday, I'm going to try and bring somebody new. Some of them you might have heard of, some maybe not. I know a lot of podcasts, they try to bring in big guests because they bring more people. That's not what I'm down. Look, I never was about that. Like, people were congratulating us at 100,000 on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
And that was really not the impetus. The bigger impetus, honestly, is not to get a bunch of people, because, frankly, YouTube ain't paying the bills, you dig? The idea was to get the right people. And I knew that if I ran my mouth a little recklessly about about the things we talk about here, I knew all the lunatic lefties would run for the hills. I knew they would unsubscribe. So it's worked out great, because now I don't get a bunch of comments. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're going to get them. I don't get a bunch of, you're blah, blah, blah. You know, when they would say you're insensitive, I'm like, oh, thank you for noticing.
Now we just get people wanting to argue about nitrogen fixers.
Yeah. So the idea was that all along. So, that's exactly what we're trying to do here. So I want to bring in more people, and I already got some lined up that are going to be maybe some people you never heard before, people you've never heard in other podcasts. Like I said, the idea for most people is to get all the big hitters And that's not what I'm all about. I want to show how this is this lifestyle
is accessible.
Yeah. I mean, when you some people are intimidated by Joel Salatin, but maybe not so much from Joe Blow down the street, you know, who's doing extraordinary things. And there's a lot of us out there doing them. All right. So right here from Rob, he says, would you please refresh my memory? Which Deer Antlip Velvet supplement were you endorsing? I wouldn't say I was endorsing it. Well, I guess you could say
I'll endorse it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could say I was endorsing it.
IGF-1.
IGF-1. Yeah.
Nutrigenics Lab. My bad.
Check out vaccine.police.com.
And you have to go to DuckDuckGo or some alternative and then type that in exactly.
Yeah, because they Google will not take you there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have to put that right into your browser. He also says, looks like I may be... Yeah. Anyway, he says he's been on the carnivore diet. There's a lot... Folks, if I'm going to read a lot of these, I need a condensed version of a lot of stuff. He's been on a carnivore diet since July 4th, 2020. He says he's lost 60 pounds.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I better not lose 60 pounds. Got one from Broomfields Farm. I would love to attend a meetup in OKC. I thank Permapastures for all the information and hard work. It was wonderful to hear that Tiffany is doing great work here in Oklahoma. One of my goals while I live in the Bethany area is to Gorilla Garden Lake Holzer. My only access to manure is animal bedding from a local farmer. How would you portion the 30 bucket compost method with animal bedding? I thank you all once again. Hashtag tip a pimp.
It's tough to answer because you got to know what's in that bedding.
You know, it's going to take, no matter what the compost method is, it's going to take like no mentor or whatever is going to be actually doing it and practicing it.
Well, the thing is that you're going to have to get a feel for your. The cool thing is about that 30 bucket method is that you know remedial actions if you have problems because you can govern. Whereas in a Berkeley method, you don't really, there's no control over what's going under there. You're just hoping you got a recipe that's right. Okay. This one here, there are ways to fix it. So as far as your manure carbon content, it's hard to govern because I don't know what that is. I mean, did they put, is it just straight up manure? Is it in hay?
Which animal is it?
How much hay?
Yeah.
Which animal? I wish I can give you a better answer on that, nephew.
What kind of bedding material it is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if anybody else has any, like I said, I'm looking to go there in August. It's probably going to be late August, maybe early September, to go do a private butchery. But... like I said, if anybody's wanting to link up in OKC, maybe we can work that out.
I don't know. Is there a good barbecue place there? Like someplace, maybe you could get some hot links.
Man, I wonder, don't get me started, man. There are no hot links in places like Kansas City. Oklahoma's like known for hot links, you know? I mean, it's like basically a hot, for people that don't know, it's basically a hot Polish sausage that's dyed red. Probably got everything bad in it. Now, not all of them are red, but that's one of those things. It's like a staple growing up in Oklahoma that we ate. I mean, we loved hot links, you know? When I was in the electrical union back there, man, every time we'd have a meeting, it was hot links. I mean, it's what we eat back there, you know?
Yeah. Even in North Carolina, there's a lower tolerance for heat and food.
Or smoke, for that matter.
Yeah, that's for doggone sure. Yeah. I got some burn ends the other day from that. This was maybe a week ago or two ago. Yeah, no smoke.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing about the barbecue around here. And
that should be the smokiest doggone part.
Well, the burn ends, because it's been smoked twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you took the point off that brisket, and it should be smoked twice. I was told by the one place, it's alongside the river, it's called Iron and Oak Barbecue, and they were actually using smoke.
Oh.
And I asked them, and I said, well, this is the first barbecue I've had since I've been here that actually had smoke in it. I said, what's the deal with that? He says, well, most of them are using pellet smokers.
Oh.
If you go too long on the smoke... with a pellet, he's like, okay, it'll give it an off-putting taste.
Huh.
So they're using oak, and I'm like, okay, even though at their place it had smoke in it, it wasn't nowhere near as smoky as I like it.
Yeah, I remember those chicken thighs and legs that Ronzo did that one time, and you choked on the smoke as you were taking a bite.
Yeah,
I miss that kind of smoke.
Yeah, that's where I want. I don't know. I mean, I didn't mean to go sideways on this, but that's one thing. You know,
it's a good topic.
I love Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas City barbecue. Man, I love barbecue all the way around, but this North Carolina thing, man, I don't understand taking a brisket or whatever and just dumping a thing of apple cider vinegar on it. I'm not getting that. Or the pulled pork where you just dump vinegar on it, and I'm like, that's all you taste is vinegar. Yeah. If there was any,
should have just made a roast.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it on that. Yeah. But I don't even know how he got into that. Anyway, yeah, there are plenty of decent. I don't know. There used to be, my favorite used to be Oklahoma River. There used to be this place called Leo's up on the northeast side, but you wouldn't catch me over there these days. There was a place called Oklahoma River on the south side of Oklahoma City. Husband and wife team, I remember when they used to work in this little...
I remember the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they used to work inside this little grocery store that was on its way out. And yep, they left that grocery
smell.
Store. Yeah.
Yeah.
They left this little grocery store, got their own place, and man, it was... Man, I phew. I go back there, yeah, I'll be stopping by. Hopefully they are still around. I have to look it up. Somebody back there can let me know. All right, so it says, I live in zone 9A and my soil is compacted clay soil. If I buy some cover, can I plant it directly or should I add lots of compost to the hole? Don't add anything to the hole. If anything, you can plant the comfrey in there and just mulch it.
Right.
That's all you really need to do. Just mulch it. And
well, in water,
yeah,
water well, 2 weeks yeah, until it like that. Starts popping up and stuff.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, hit it with water, keep it moist. But
oh,
until
I'm,
then,
that's it on my end. Yeah. Oh, I do have YouTube comments. My bad. This was on the bonus episode with Tiffany. This is from Heath Hass. Absolutely awesome, great interview, Pimp Daddy with Tiffany. Thank you for the inspiration and great info. Got another one from H. Sinclair. Amazing and inspirational interview. Thank you, Tiffany and Pimp Daddy. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, people are loving what Tiffany's doing over there.
Yeah, man. She's
more
something
of the same
else.
Comments on there. But yeah, that's awesome.
As soon as I'm surprised everybody and the great grandmother ain't falling over themselves to get her on there, because she is the kind of young lady that really you ought to be letting your little girls listen to.
Oh, I got one from Chris Stubbs. This is on the latest episode, episode 102. This is on the YouTube channel also. They didn't call you out by name, but the newest Barn Talk podcast basically shouted you out. Torque heard you talk on Teddy Roosevelt's Man in the Arena speech about daring greatly when you fail. They were talking about what's going on in the rainbow crowd and where men seem to be headed in society. Again, they didn't shout you out by name, but once he said, it's a homesteader on YouTube who covers everything and his take on Man in the Arena speech. And I was like, he's talking about Billy. Torque and his son Sawyer live in Iowa and are commercial hog farmers.
All right. Well, it sounds like some people that we might overlap with. What's the name of that podcast?
Barn Talk Podcast.
All right.
Might want to interview him.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see if it's another, you know, some way to overlay, because I'll be honest with you folks, is right now I had this idea, okay, and I actually had it a while back, and it's almost laughable because I guess it's not. I'll just tell you what it is, and it's kind of blowing up in my face, not as bad as it could be. I came up with this idea. I'm like, okay, how do I evangelize what it is we're doing? How do I get it in the hands of more people? And I thought, ding, 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 ding. Well, surely the MAGA crowd and those people would definitely resonate with something like this, because there is nothing more liberty-minded than growing your food and putting it in what you put in your mouth. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And so I reached out to pretty much every liberty-minded podcast I could think of. I don't know who sent it off to LT at And We Know. I was wearing this stuff anyway. You know, he shouted us out there. And by and large, Seth Holhouse and Upfront and the Prophetic are the only ones that have actually responded.
Right.
A number of these other ones, there is no way to contact them. which I don't know. I mean, if there's a way to get a hold of them, I don't know what it is. And I'm like, okay, we're already halfway there in where all of us overlay with one another. So I thought, okay, I'm going to reach out to these people. Surely they want to talk to me. You know, I wouldn't mind talking to them. But what I'm finding out is that this is what I covered earlier in the podcast. Most of the MAGA group, if they aren't already listening to this show, most of them are totally uninterested.
Oh, yeah.
They bring me onto a show and it bombs, and they won't even, as soon as they hear anything about farming, and I'm like, didn't you live through COVID?
They'll start preparing maybe if Trump doesn't become president. That's when they'll get started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I'm like, okay, did you not just live through this time? And I'm thinking, okay, clearly that's not where I ought to be reaching out, because I'm trying to get this word out that, hey, we all need to be growing food.
Yeah.
But it seems the people least worried about it are definitely the, in fact, the lunatics on the hard left
are more concerned about having a doggone garden than these people on the right.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm actually shocked. I'm stunned. I'm astonished, because most of them on the right, I got a gun. I got a couple of months of food. Do you have a resupply plan? No, you don't. So that's kind of where I say it's blowing up in my face, y'all. That's kind of what I expect. I mean, I did not expect it. I thought for sure that everybody and their great grandmother would have this eureka moment and say, huh, yeah, in light of everything going on, man, I really need to start growing food. But that's not been the case. They want to hear stuff about QAnon. They want to hear stuff about Trump coming back. They want to hear stuff. And I got my issues with him, because I'm not left. I'm not right. It's not any of this stuff. It's not blue state, red state. It's a state against you. And that's where I thought we would have. But I'm honestly astonished that more people on the right have zero interest in even thinking about discussing growing their own food.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. But that doesn't apply to the ones listening here today, y'all. So until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.